Good afternoon and welcome to the Bold and the Song 3CR 8:55 AM. The Boldness is about lived experience of disability and I am your host for today. My name is Raf. Earlier this year, we had the pleasure of talking with Uncle Paul Calcott, who was one of the International Day of Disability Ambassadors in 2024. And I thought I'd take this opportunity to invite him back to the Boldness to reflect on the past 12 months. How are you doing today, Uncle Paul?
Doing good, good, Raf, and always great to catch up and have a yarn with you.
It's great, actually, that you've been able to make the time to come back to us. Is that, for the record, where the Boldness is being recorded today, we are on the lands of the Bunurong people. I pay my respect to the elders past and present. Now, I said over the past 12 months, we had a really good young International Day of Disability Ambassador. 12 months on, what has actually happened from your personal perspective?
It's been a pretty full-on 12 months. I mean, when I was announced as being one of the ambassadors, it was an absolute huge honour. It was a bit of a spin-out to get that. Unfortunately, I was supposed to go to Canberra with meet all the others for International Day of People with Disability, but I got to the airport and my flight to Canberra had been cancelled. And the next flight wasn't until quite late. So unfortunately, I didn't get to Canberra to actually meet all the other ambassadors face-to-face. But I've since connected online. I did meet Sarah face-to-face in Brisbane during some filming, but I've kept in touch with a few of the ambassadors, and it's been a great way to make friends and connections and the amazing work that that the other mob are doing out in community. So it's been pretty busy since that.
What has actually happened over that past 12 months in terms of being an International Disability Ambassador? People have been busy as ambassadors talking about disability.
The ambassador only goes officially to, I think, mid-February, that you have the official duties to do things. But then after that, you still have that other connections and that other sort of knock-on effect where you get the opportunities to promote the contributions that people with disabilities make to community. And my particular one is always First Nations, being a proud Wiradjuri man. But since being one of the ambassadors, quite a lot's happened. I got to spend a couple of weeks in Victoria, part of the Yurrumboy Art Festival, because I'm on the board for there. So I got to meet amazing artists with disabilities from the First Nations community in Canada and also Māori community from New Zealand and other artists from around Australia, all with disabilities. So that was a huge event. And then I also got the chance to travel to the United Nations in Geneva, and I got a chance to attend the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Indigenous People and spoke at the UN there in regards to some issues that face our community, especially mob with disability. I also just recently went to Fiji to attend the Pacific Disability Forum to represent Australian mob with disabilities as part of the Oceania, the Indian Pacific Disability Group. So that was huge to meet some people over there and make more connections. I also just recently won the Creative Australia Disability Artists Award, the National Award as well, which was a massive, blew me away. And just only a few weeks ago, I got the chance to be part of the new launch for the Arts Disability Network Australia that was launched at the Opera House. And I was part of a panel of discussion around disability in the arts at the Opera House in Sydney. It's been a lot going on since then for an old fella. But every chance to get to talk about mob with disabilities and the contributions we make, I'll grab.
Well, is that Uncle Paul? I know you've just described yourself as an old fella, so I'd like to really, really clarify this one. As an old fella, that you actually have a lot of wisdom, and that's why you have the title of Uncle Paul bestowed upon you. It's just earned from actually having the wisdom to pass on and share with other generations. For example, in your gallery, Hot Pink Goanna, you mentor some up-and-coming Indigenous artists. How is that coming on?
Still doing it. Still keeping in touch with a number of our younger artists. I find it just a huge, it really is a huge honour to sit there with them and hear their stories and to pass on support and how to sort of, you know, become more established artists, but how to have the confidence to share their story. Because I had that. I was given that by elders, and I think I have an obligation to pass it on to some of our other younger artists and some of my peers as well. We all get together, so it's not just me out there. So it's still going strong. Still facilitating a group called Nunaron, the art group, and we have a few regular younger artists coming along to that, and a few artists my age as well with disabilities that are coming sometimes like just learning about their culture. Many people have been in institutions a long time and now just getting to learn about their culture and their connection. So still going strong with that, Raph, and hope to be doing it for a bit longer.
Oh, well, we certainly hope you keep doing this for a lot longer, Uncle Paul, because look, as I said, like, you've gone overseas representing Australia at Fiji, and you've also gone down to the Opera House. You're still a person of what I would describe of considerable influence with significant contributions to the community. You've also had this received this recent one, another major prize, and it came as a little bit of a surprise to you. As a person with a disability and as a person who identifies as being part of the First Nations, do you think that there's getting greater, much more awareness around the role that Indigenous artists contribute to the community, especially around in terms of their artwork? Are they getting more opportunities?
I think there are more opportunities coming out. There's some funding now around specifically for disabilities and the arts and First Nations people. It's still a bit hard. Sometimes the process can be quite complicated. But I do see an improvement. I do see more of a voice. And since I went to being part of like the Yurrumboy Arts Board, I've been introduced to a lot more artists around Australia. So we no longer think we're the only Indigenous artists in the village anymore. We're actually starting to connect. And I really love, they're a lot younger than me, a lot of them, but I really love now trying to pass on opportunities to them. Because I always say, if someone opens the door for me, I'll stick my foot in that door and keep it open as long as I can for other people. So it is improving. I'm seeing a really strong connection, a strong community developing. I'm very hopeful of the future. And even with like Yurrumboy, with Access Arts and Creative Australia, there is a real strong respect now for First Nations artists with disabilities and the contributions that we make through storytelling and cultural connection and that as well. So it is getting more appreciated and more respected and more opportunities. Still a long way to go. Still have to get there. We can't rest on our laurels yet and start high-fiving each other, but we're getting there.
One of the challenges is the connection with other artists of First Nations and the community. One of the things that I think that may assist art projects is that even with the internet, with Indigenous culture, with people more being in the regional remote areas of Australia, the internet, I don't believe, would be terribly as reliable as it would be in the cities. I think that would actually present a problem, just in the connection service. And two, again, because of the logistics of this huge land in Australia, that having to travel can be rather expensive. And with that becomes accommodation costs. And where I'm going with that is that in terms of, let's say, arts, is there any type of funding or recognition available for artists to come together to do this?
There are some grants out there now to assist people to attend other festivals and other art festivals as well. But again, the process, we're still dealing with how people can make those applications a lot easier to actually, and also to make people aware that those grants are out there. I mean, I have trouble applying for them. I get knocked back. Like, I'm not very successful with them because I'm not, you know, it is difficult to go through unless you're very used to it. But also things like the different art festivals in Melbourne with, like, Uruguay, for instance, and Arts Access Australia, and now this new, the Disability Arts Network Australia, there will be more chances for people to connect and start to break down those barriers and to identify ways that people can come together, especially our mob artists with disabilities, and start to connect. We had one last year in Victoria, and it was amazing. We had First Nations artists from all around Australia come together in Victoria for a two-day seminar on just sharing stories and what we do, and it was incredible. I mean, I met some amazing people, and we still keep in touch. So those sort of things are starting to happen, and that never happened before. When I was an artist, you know, I just hang out with our little group. We didn't get a chance to meet a lot of people. So it is happening. There are these opportunities, and trying to get more people from remote communities to come in as well. Got to say, but with the internet, sometimes it's pretty good in remote communities. When I've travelled through the Northern Territory, you know, when you hit a little town because your phone starts pinging and you suddenly hit the internet. So there's little pockets of it that work, but in some communities there's nothing at all.
Welcome back to The Boldness on 3CR, 8:55 a.m. on Wednesday, the 17th of January, where we have been joined by one of the International Day of Disability Ambassadors in 2024, Uncle Paul Calcott, who is a very respected elder and an extremely wise man. And we're going to pose the question, now that he's had a chance to think about it, around what could be done to improve the accessibility of applying for grants?
Well, I think the thing is, Ralph, it's not just our mob, but the grants, as an artist, you're always looking at the creative side of what you want to do. You know, we're very excited about the art we want to create and what we want the grant for. But a big part of the grant is also putting forward a budget and how you'll look after that and how you will sign off on the budget, and also sometimes in organising venues and booking fees and having things locked in place. And that's where a lot of artists with disabilities can struggle, because being an artist, you're more a creative person. You're not really into accounts. So that is being addressed. But some of the things is like where, you know, I fell down recently on a grant I applied for because my budget wasn't very strong with how I was going to do it, because it was a bit, I didn't explain things well enough. And also a simple thing like the gallery I wanted to use, I didn't go to them, because you think, I can't go to someone and lock in a date if I haven't got the funding. You feel like you're just gamming them, you're misleading them. But apparently that's the done thing, where you do go to a gallery, and if you're going to have an exhibition, you can lock in the date and get that commitment from the gallery to put that in your application. So it's the things that, you know, where I fell down was I didn't have that commitment because I didn't think that was the right thing to do. I didn't break down the budget enough, and I put things in that didn't quite make sense about, you know, putting money back in from sales. And so there are things I think we fall down. We're very creative, very good at talking about what we want to do, but it's difficult when you've got to put together a budget, how you're going to acquit it, and time factors, especially Indigenous mob, because, you know, you can't always stick to a time factor. Sometimes it may take longer to get things going. So that's the part of it that you can fall down as well.
And one of the things about art practices in general, it's providing that supporting evidence. Who are the people? So you can attach their resume, and that can be quite a challenge. Well, I don't know who the people are, but But the second part of the question was, with the Urumbai, and I'm certain I'm not pronouncing that one correctly because I like to do things phonetically when I've practiced about 20 times first, with the Urumbai Festival, what actually is the Urumbai Festival?
Yeah, you're pretty close with the pronunciation of your mouth. It's Urumbai. So it's the Urumbai Festival, and it's festival happens every, let me make sure I got it right, every 2 years, and it's where First Nations artists with disabilities come together for a whole week of arts and plays and theatre and very like diverse right across the board of all different sorts of art medium and all forms of disability, very diverse community, and they're based down in Victoria. And Urumbai, and I'm not sure, it's an Indigenous word, but I don't know if it's a Wurundjeri word or not, but it means tomorrow. So it's about, you know, the future and tomorrow for arts. So that's basically, yes, every 2 years they do the festival in Victoria, and it's huge. And then they also do another festival every alternate year as well, which is the one that I went to where we brought a whole heap of First Nations artists from all around Australia together, and that was the first time that had actually happened. And now we're hoping to do it again next year.
Well, that is something for the boldness to be aware of, that to keep an eye out and maybe sort of like you may like to be, the boldness may need to contact you about some of who these artists are, so we can actually talk directly with them, because the boldness is about where lived experience, but also hearing, especially from the voices in the community that people wouldn't actually hear from, and that would be an excellent way to highlight that. So,
Ralph, I'm happy to keep you in touch if I'm down there next year, which hopefully I will be. For sure, and it'd be great for you to do some interviews with the artists. I mean, I'm sure they'd all be really happy to have a yarn with you. No worries.
Yep, and speaking of which, of having some yarns, you were one of the ambassadors for International Day of Disability in 2024, and this interview goes to air on the 17th of December, and that's coming up to the start of summer programming on 3CR. This year, I actually was very, very organised. The Boldness has interviewed all the ambassadors for International Day of Disability in 2025, and that was one of the attractions of bringing you on today, because it's actually a very, very good leading for the series, which will start probably around the 21st of January.
Yep, and there's great ambassadors. I've been following them, and they even did some great stuff the other day where they had a round table yarn, a conversation about sexuality and disability, which I thought was great to really start to have those sort of conversations. So I'm really impressed with this year's ambassadors.
Look, in again, a bit of a call out to a couple of the interviews. The Boldness, one of the interviews that I was very, very impressed with was the interview The Boldness did with Isabella Shout. They are based in Western Australia, and it's one of the young people up and coming. They're on the Forbes top 30 list. They had a great deal to say, incredibly informative, and I was very impressed with the interview that The Boldness did with Santiago Velasquez, which was, again, they were great interviews for people to actually have that voice to hear what was actually coming up as well, Uncle Paul. And I think you'd be particularly interested in those two interviews.
Yeah, as I sound like I'll have to. So they haven't gone to air yet, have they?
They have not gone to air.
I'd love to listen to them, yeah.
Yeah, I think we can. The Boldness will send the podcast link once they're available. And even with International Day of Disability, The Boldness did something which may appeal to you as well, Uncle Paul. We did a show called Back to Broome, we interviewed, it was a person's Kim story. She's gone back to Broome. She has a disability. What's Broome like? It's just a chance for them to bring it into Melbourne, comparing what is it really, really, really like.
Yeah, so I've been to Broome for one day for a meeting, and I'd love to spend more time there. But I, yeah, met some amazing people over there, and there's an elder I know lives further up. I think he's up more towards Derby. But be interesting to hear someone that lives there with disability what it's like and what's going on. So amazing place though, Broome. I mean, very sort of very hot, but the community I met were wonderful.
And finally, Uncle Paul, we're coming into this new year, that conscientious issue, Australia Day, Invasion Day. Have you got any particular thoughts on what it may mean? Should it be abolished or a new day?
It's probably not the best day to have Australia Day a celebration because of what it means to a lot of our community. But also it's so entrenched in a lot of people that to try and move it or change it just causes a lot of conflict. And sometimes it's exhausting from like arguing over it. I actually like what's happening at the moment where it is a day of celebrating, but it starts in the morning with a welcome to country, an acknowledgement to country and a smoking ceremony. So to me, for Australia Day, for me, it's about acknowledging, sure, how wonderful this country is, a lot of people, but also acknowledging that there was a lot of pain and a lot of heartbreak and there was like almost genocide in the early days. So I think it's acknowledging for me the strength of our mob, that we survived that and we got through that, and acknowledging our ancestors of the past and then moving forward, and for us acknowledging the achievements of our community as well, that we are still here and we are still thriving and we have a lot of issues. Our mob in the outback are still doing incredibly tough. I go out there and I haven't been out there for a little while. Our mob in community are doing it tough, but we're still resilient. We're still holding it together with our art and our storytelling, our music, our dance, our spirituality has survived all that. So to me, Australia Day, I don't think it will change. It's just too embedded in people. It would just be, even if they did change it, there'd still be people that want to celebrate it on that day and you know, rebellious, and it all becomes exhausting. So to me, I think if we're going to keep it on that day, let's do it twofold. Let's acknowledge the achievements of this country, but also let's acknowledge the First Nations people and the strength and the resilience and the survival of that. The sad thing that's happened recently for me with Australia Day is it was always about everyone coming together, all as one, lots of people immigrating to this country to make it great. But lately those Australian marches, March for Australia against immigration and everything else, I think it's to me conflicts with what we're supposed to be about on Australia Day. And sadly in some areas it's becoming a bit of them and us sort of thing, which is sad to see that. But I like to hang on to the positive stuff. I like to hang on to the resilience. And on that day, if we're not going to change it, at least acknowledge the strength of the First Nations people, acknowledge what our ancestors went through, acknowledge that there was a lot of blood spilled on this land. I'm from Wiradjuri country. There were Wiradjuri wars there. We were like 1,200 women and children and men were killed during the frontier wars, trying to protect their land. So acknowledge there's been a lot of pain, but then move on and say, but look, we're still here, we're resilient, let's celebrate the resilience of our culture and our community. So that's what I sort of do on that day in my headspace. I don't protest anymore. I'm too old for it, too tired. My legs give out. But I just think it just becomes too conflicting. I think there's just a better way to celebrate it and sort of build that resilience for our community, but also a reminder of the strength of what we've been through to get here. It wasn't an easy ride and still isn't.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Uncle Paul. It's been an absolute pleasure and an honour that you're up to speak to us again. Thank you very much, Uncle Paul.
Thanks, Ralph. Always like to have a chat with Victoria next year.
Look, that would be great. It's kind of like I really enjoy our conversations.
Because it's your face-to-face one.
Yep, they're kind of like they can be very, very, like they're interesting, and I really appreciate you sharing your time too. Thank you.
Thanks, Ralph.
Let's finish up with a song from Sue Nani, a refugee in the land of the free. And if you don't think the revolution has started, you've been listening to the wrong station. This is 3CR, Voice of the People. Thank you for joining me tonight.